Hey there, self-care warriors. Welcome back to Self-Care for Survivors. I'm really excited to be speaking about female narcissists today, so let's get started. It's quite easy to overlook female narcissists and their even more ruthless cousins, sociopaths. You know, since female narcissists, they engage in the same type of relational aggression that teenage girls do, they can easily fly under the radar as the mean girl motif come to life, right? Something we all assume that they will eventually grow out of. So when we see someone who's a very aggressive, mean person, even in the youth, we tend to dismiss it as the mean girl syndrome, something that they'll grow out of. But research actually indicates that adolescent girls who use these high levels of relational aggression, relational aggression is basically the type of bullying that girls are more prone to because they've been socialized to mask their aggression in more subtle and covert ways than men. So research shows that adolescent girls who use relational aggression, high levels of it, actually demonstrate low levels of empathy and caring towards others. And that suggests that these behaviors of, you know, gossiping, exclusion, sabotaging relationships may actually be more common among those who have existing or budding narcissistic and antisocial traits. Now, of course, those personality disorders cannot be diagnosed until you're an adult. But it is helpful to see it in this framework of someone who's a budding narcissist, someone who's growing into this sort of overly narcissistic and aggressive behavior early on. And the problem is the malignant female narcissist, this is someone who is not just a narcissist, but actually has antisocial traits, someone we might call it's an outdated term, but a sociopath. They rarely outgrow their excessive sense of entitlement. You know, they rarely outgrow their lack of empathy and their thirst for interpersonal exploitation. They just adjust these traits to their changing environment. And the problem with female narcissists is that, you know, while it's been estimated that 75% of narcissists are actually male, I have this theory, and feel free to disagree, that the number is actually being underestimated when it comes to female narcissists, because we have all heard horror stories or even experienced it perhaps of narcissistic mothers. We've experienced narcissistic friends, coworkers. You know, these people are protected by these prevailing stereotypes of, you know, the gentle young girl, the maternal mother, the sweet old grandmother, or they're minimized by archetypes like the catty best friend. No one suspects that it's the person who's assumed to be nurturing and sweet in our society, the female, the sort of defenseless female. I think we have this stereotype of the damsel in distress. And I think that's what makes the female narcissist so dangerous, is because we don't see her coming, right? We don't expect this type of person to be vindictive, cruel, and ruthless, regardless of their age, regardless of their background. We think because she's a female, because they're assumed to be more nurturing and more sweet, that they're not going to be as vindictive. We don't expect narcissistic mothers, for example. We don't expect mothers in general to abandon, neglect, or abuse their children, but we know for a fact that narcissistic mothers do that. And, you know, what happens when the catty best friend from middle school becomes the conniving coworker in the corporate world, you know, employing these underhanded tactics to sabotage her colleagues, or when the demented narcissistic mother drives her adult children to suicide after years of chronic abuse, or when the malignant narcissistic girlfriend uses her harem of male admirers to terrorize and triangulate her significant other. It's dangerous, it's harmful, it's psychologically abusive, and I do believe that female narcissists can be just as dangerous as male narcissists, in some cases even more dangerous because they're able to fly under the radar because they are female. However, I do want to acknowledge that there are going to be structural inequalities that make it a different experience for female narcissists operating, just the law in general, and they might have to operate in more underhanded ways just because they're not going to be afforded the same privilege as perhaps male narcissists. So we do have to take that into account, because men do hold a lot of power in this patriarchal society. But again, the ways in which female narcissists abuse their victims can be very similar and have a very similar impact as, you know, the impact of the abuse of a male abuser. You know, abuse is abuse regardless of the gender of the perpetrator or the victim. And what I also want to mention is that, you know, it's becoming clearer from the breadth of survivor stories that there are a far greater number of narcissists in general, not to mention female narcissists, than one might assume. So let's get to the signs that you might be dealing with a female narcissist, right? What are the top, let's say, 4 signs to watch out for? Maybe traits and behaviors to watch out for if you suspect someone might be a malignant narcissist. It's not easy to detect sometimes until you're already within the friendship or the working relationship or familiar relationship. Obviously, you do get to know that very early on. Or if you're in a romantic relationship with a female narcissist, you usually don't find out until the devaluation cycle, the devaluation phase of the abuse cycle, I should say. So the number one sign I would urge you to look out for is someone who demonstrates a sadistic sense of pleasure at your pain, right? Because every narcissist, regardless of their gender, if they are malignant, if they are on the malignant end of the narcissistic spectrum, which means that they have antisocial traits, they are going to enjoy, they're going to take pleasure in bringing you down. And research has shown this time and time again. You know, malignant narcissists truly do take pleasure. They actually feel a sense of joy when they see sad faces. That's what the research has shown. And, you know, we have so many survivor accounts, so many mental health professionals who are now speaking about narcissistic abuse and how prevalent it is. And the sense of sadism is a common element in all of these stories. So the female narcissist enjoys making covert jabs. And I think because she's a female narcissist, she is more likely to use these underhanded methods, as opposed to male narcissists. Although, of course, male narcissists can be just as covert, right? But the female narcissist watches gleefully as her victim, you know, looks shocked and offended. She displays a shocking lack of empathy, and she's always turning the conversation to herself. She's always hogging the limelight. It's all about her perceived accomplishments, her pity ploys. She's the perpetual victim, even though she's actually the culprit bullying others. She's ruthless in her ability to first idealize you and then devalue you and discard you. And she builds this really effective pedestal to put you on, only to knock you off of it when she feels like you're not worshiping her enough, or that you're not paying her enough attention. Even though you're giving her all of you, you know, you're giving her everything, but she eventually has to find another victim to groom, because you eventually see through her facade and you mirror back to her exactly who she is, and she knows it. So she can't engage in these healthy, fulfilling relationships. So she'd rather sabotage the relationships and friendships of others for her own personal entertainment. She'd rather cause pain. She'd, instead of bringing emotional validation, instead of paying attention to her victims, you know, supporting her victims, she'd rather bring the attention back to herself. And that ties in with the second trait that I want you to look out for, which is the female malignant narcissist is driven by this insatiable sense of competitiveness. And male narcissists do the same thing too, right? Because they're all pathologically envious and they have this desire to be the center of attention. You know, unless it fits their agenda, they will usually be the ones who are bringing the attention back to themselves. Of course, in the idealization phase, they may be content to have you be the center of attention as they groom you. But once you are being devalued, you'll notice that they pay less and less attention to you. They start to withdraw. They start to ignore, neglect, and abuse and bully you. So let's talk more about how this is employed within a female narcissist's life, because the group of female friends that you have growing up is usually a very critical element of a young girl's childhood, right? So, you know, every girl is different, so it's not always the case. But usually female friendships tend to play a role in a critical part of our development if we are young girls, right? Because we have this sense of sisterhood and sense of kinship with our female friends. However, the female malignant narcissist is socialized to be less physically expressive, right? Due to that social stigma of female anger, right? Females are not allowed to be angry in our society. And so the female narcissist knows that. And because she's been socialized to mask her intentions, mask her true authentic rage, what she does is that in her group of female friends, she takes out her rage in very covert ways. She scopes out first who is a threat to her and who is a blind follower. Those who threaten the female narcissist in any way, whether it be through their success, their appearance, their personality, their popularity, their resources, their status, desirability, you name it, you know, it could be their wealth, whatever qualities they have, whatever assets that distinguish them, she wants to extinguish it. Because while the rest of her followers are more obedient, if she sees that there's a target who's more independent, who has resources outside of the narcissist's inner circle, then they will be kept around until their resources have been sufficiently depleted and their sense of self is destroyed. And I'm really not exaggerating this when I say this. Female narcissists can be very vindictive. So again, those who present that threat are initially placed on a pedestal, like we talked about with the idealization devaluation cycle, but they're set up to fail, right? They're set up to fail. Narcissists will always bring in these moving goalposts, and you can never meet their arbitrary standards. So you're always set up to fail and made to think that you have failed, when in reality, what you've probably done is put your best foot in and put in all of your best efforts, but the narcissist is refusing to acknowledge or appreciate them. So once this has happened, once you have been perceived to fail by the narcissist's arbitrary standards, the female narcissist's starry-eyed admiration of you is soon revealed to bear this undercurrent of contempt, of envy, of rage. And I think therapist Christine Louis de Canneville puts it perfectly when she says in one of her articles about the female narcissist, she says, when it comes to envy, there is no one more envious than the narcissistic woman. And I truly do believe that from my own personal experiences, from hearing survivor stories, I do think that male narcissists can be just as envious. But I think that we underestimate the level of envy that a female narcissist can have and the level to which she takes it to destroy her targets. Now, keep in mind that the female narcissist will use your affiliation with you to gain access to your resources, your status, but again, as soon as the idealization phase is over, the devaluation and discard follows. And that can look like anything from covertly and overtly putting you down, engaging in a lot of rumors about you, staging smear campaigns, creating triangles where she feeds others false or humiliating information about you. She may pit one or two friends against each other by claiming that they're gossiping about one another, when in fact it's her that's gossiping about everyone. It's her falsehoods that are manufacturing conflict within the group. And so then she's able to confirm her own false sense of superiority because she has so much control over the group dynamics, and she's able to inject chaos into any sort of peace, any sort of stability that you or the group of friends may have. And you know, you're probably dealing with a female narcissist in your friend group if you notice this sort of uncomfortable silence or a covert exchange of looks or even an odd energy whenever you enter the room. The friend is overly friendly in contrast. The narcissistic friend tends to be the friendly one who's actually the one speaking behind your back. And you can also note that you are you might be victimized by if you feel overly idealized in the beginning of your friendship, right? You're sweet talked to the ninth degree, you're admired, you're praised, you're showed off. There's this, again, this starry-eyed admiration, that's what I call it, because that it really is that starry-eyed admiration of you that gets you hooked. It makes you think this person is a good person. But actually she's a very damaged person and she wants to inflict damage on others. And because of her perceived sweetness in the beginning, you may have found yourself sharing these intimate secrets, which you'll later find will be brought up, you know, they'll be spread, even though confidentiality was agreed upon in the beginning. And then later on, you will find yourself excluded by the female narcissist in group conversations, social events, or invites. You're going to notice this kind of chilling smugness when your narcissistic friend talks down to you. She's going to devalue the same accomplishments that she admired in the beginning because she cannot stand having someone that she perceives to be superior to her in any way. So, again, watch out for these signs, and if you notice that a certain female friend tends to speak very ill of others behind their back to your face, make sure that you are considering the fact that she may be doing the same thing to you, right? This is evidence of her duplicity and her ability to deceive. You know, an authentic person might vent to others occasionally in the event of stress or conflict. But they would not engage in excessive gossip, actually. They would not engage in indiscriminate character assassination. They would most likely just cut ties with people they thought they were toxic. Female narcissists, on the other hand, what they do is they set up this stage of duplicity where they're constantly complaining about others behind their back. However, they're showing a completely different face to the people that they're venting to. And rest assured that she's probably doing the same thing to you. Another sign I would watch out for, and this can get complicated because we do have the gender roles and stereotypes and socialization to consider when it comes to this, but this trait tends to be very exaggerated in female narcissists, right? And what I'm talking about here is the female narcissist has an obsession with her appearance. And she might even have a high level of materialism and superficiality. And this lends to an excessive sense of entitlement, a haughty sense of superiority. If she's more cerebral than somatic, then what happens is that she will focus more on her intellectual achievements than her body or her appearance. But what happens is that, as Christine Hammond says in her article, The Difference Between Male and Female Narcissists, the female narcissist battles with other females for dominance. And so while male narcissists use their charm along with their appearance to achieve their goals, females use to gain this sense of superiority, and they fit this femme fatale stereotype quite well. Many of them are either conventionally attractive, and they use their sexuality to the advantage. So whether they're climbing the corporate ladder or using their body to get what they want, they have no problem at all using their sexuality to both get under someone and get over on them. And so because females in our society are socialized to objectify themselves, I do find that this trait is a lot more common among female narcissists. Of course, somatic narcissists can do this as well. And there is a difference between the histrionic female who uses her sexuality and appearance indiscriminately across any and every context, dresses provocatively and uses her sexuality to a very excessive extent, to kind of cater to this insatiable sense of attention seeking, versus the female narcissist, which experts say actually use their sexuality for a certain specific purpose, mission, or goal. So she might use it to seduce someone at work so she can climb the corporate ladder. She might use it to manipulate her boyfriend so he can forgive her transgressions in the relationship, which if you're dealing with a female narcissist, there is definitely going to be boundary breaking, infidelity, and, you know, a lot of transgressions. In terms of money, males are, according to Christine Hammond, males are more likely to obtain money. Female narcissists tend to excessively expend it. I don't know how much I agree with this. I think that female narcissists, if they are wealthy and in power, you know, they can behave in a similar way to males. I think it has to do more with power structures, more so than gender. And I think it can go either way, right? Because there are plenty of male narcissists who will also leech off the victims of the wealth of their victims. So we really have to keep that in mind. But this could result in a very highly materialistic female narcissist, right? Someone who enjoys adorning herself with the best designer clothing, indulging in luxuries at the expense of her loved ones. Or if she doesn't have that power, she might allow herself to be excessively catered to by a wealthy significant other. And they can also accumulate their own wealth and use it as this indication of superiority as well. For the cerebral female narcissist, she might use her accumulation of degrees, credentials, and accomplishments to terrorize others. For example, and I'm sure you might have experienced this, a narcissistic female professor may choose a target in the classroom to subject to hypercriticism, bullying, and cruel taunts under this guise of constructive criticism. She usually targets her most talented and brilliant female students in the classroom, and this is because despite her own expertise and position of power, she is still threatened by another female whose intellect might surpass hers. So remember this, right? Anytime there's a threat, whether, you know, it's a threat in intelligence, appearance, achievements, whatever it may be, whatever asset the victim might have, the female narcissist will tend to kind of zoom in on them, and they will hunt their prey. So you can see this across many different types of contexts. Another sign that I would urge you to look out for is a blatant disregard for the boundaries of intimate relationships, including her own, and a very twisted sense of what boundaries are. Female narcissists, just like any other type of narcissist, will violate your boundaries. And so when the female narcissist has this harem of admirers consisting of, you know, exes, strangers, you know, her current romantic partner, and people that she's sleeping with behind his or her back, she's frequently creating these love triangles with her significant others and other competitors, right? Whether they be females or males, depending on her sexual orientation. She rejoices in this attention that she's getting. It's a complete ego trip. And she's always engaging in some sort of infidelity, whether it's emotional or physical. She's doing this with plenty of gaslighting and deception directed at her partner, who usually spoils her and dotes on her and is unaware of the extent of her disloyalty. And she's also crossing the boundaries of her female friendships by attempting to make a move on the partners of her friends. Now, you'll see this trait very exaggerated with histrionic females too, who are very likely to kind of flirt with everyone and anyone to get that sort of attention that they're craving. But female narcissists do this too. And she tends to be very disappointed and envious when her seduction falls flat. And to a baffled outsider, you know, her betrayal is incredibly hurtful, but it's actually a very clear and obvious sign of how far her excessive sense of entitlement goes. If you are dealing with a female malignant narcissist in a friendship, a relationship, or in the workplace, you know, I urge you to be on guard. Remember that they can turn at any moment. So don't ever be fooled into thinking that you will ever be the exception to their exploitation. If you're dealing with one at work, stick to email or small talk that can easily be documented or isn't as threatening. Do not reveal personal information if you can in the early stages of any budding relationship, because like any other narcissist, she will use it as ammunition against you. If a female narcissist is wanting to spend all her time with you and is pressuring you to spend time with them constantly, start to minimize communication and slow things down. There's this great piece of advice from life coach Wendy Powell, who says that Slowing things down can be an excellent way to discourage narcissists from dating you, because they don't like to slow down. They like to fast forward intimacy on all levels. So if you show the narcissist that you have this healthy sense of boundaries and you follow through with those boundaries, they might be less likely to see you as a target. Of course, your compassion and your empathy can still make you a target nonetheless. But again, at least she'll know that you have these boundaries and you're willing to stick up for yourself. Most narcissists, however, cannot stand to be ignored. They feel entitled to your constant attention. So be aware that they will continue to make persistent attempts to reach you or provoke you, and they might attempt to sabotage you if they fail. And if you notice that a female friend of yours tends to spread rumors or engages in malicious gossip, try to cut the interaction politely and excuse yourself and stop being a sounding board for their malignant vents. Because unless they're venting in a healthy way, just as a healthy outlet, if they are always constantly belittling others with this unnecessary sense of contempt, you don't need to be the sounding board for their constant toxicity. Remain calm whenever a female narcissist tries to provoke you. Indifference is their kryptonite. So your courage and your silence in the face of their threats, of course, silence is not always the best option, but whenever possible, go no contact. Or at least low contact, the minimum amount of contact you can have with this person. Because once you stop feeding them supply, once you stop feeding them the emotional fuel that they use to get off, it unsettles them. And it reminds them that you're not a target who's so easily rattled. And so there's something more powerful about you than they expected. And they'll usually move on to someone who can feed them that emotional fuel, feed them that compassion and empathy, feed them all of these emotional reactions. And we call that Grey Rock too, right? I'll leave a link in the description below about Grey Rock. It's a method where you become emotionally unresponsive to their advances and their provocations. In terms of the smear campaign, if you find that you're being smeared by a female narcissist, it's important that you think about your reaction. You know, calmly state the facts. If you have documentation of things that say things to the contrary of what they're claiming, you can show this to whoever the narcissist is smearing you to. But take note as to who stands up for you versus who believes in the female narcissist, because those people who enable her behavior are going to try to defend her, and you don't have to put up with that. So that's going to be your clue that, as hurtful as it may be, this discovery that your friends aren't as faithful to you or loyal to you as you suspected, this is a great way to finally cut off some of those toxic friendships, because the enablers of a narcissist can be just as dangerous as the narcissist herself. The enablers of a narcissist can basically bolster that person's sense of superiority to the extent where they keep the female narcissist's hands clean while they carry out her dirty work for her. So remember that in the presence of, you know, a persuasive narcissist or sociopath, a highly skilled manipulative person, there's always going to be a few people who are going to be fooled. Do not waste your energy trying to convince them unless you really need to. If they are that easily fooled by this toxic person's claims rather than your track record of loyalty and support, they don't deserve your friendship. And you'll find that they will uncover the truth for themselves eventually. You know, even if they continue to enable the narcissist's behavior, they will still get the short end of the stick because they chose that fake friend who can turn on them at any point. It's important to start to detach from the narcissist's harem and stick with the people who do support and defend you. Do not be swayed by flattery or charm in the early stages of any interaction. If it's genuine, it will be given as positive feedback throughout your friendship or relationship. And you're not going to be blindsided by this sudden personality transplant. Now, if the female narcissist in your life is your narcissistic mother, I know that a lot of people don't want to cut contact with their family members. However, you can do low contact, a minimum amount of contact, unless otherwise necessary. And one thing I forgot to mention actually about narcissistic mothers is that they tend to compete with their daughters, especially as young children, because they see them as a threat to them, because they're kind of the more younger, you know, more conventionally attractive, I guess, versions of themselves. And they, in a weird, twisted way, they see those daughters as competitors for their husband's attention. It's really sick. So if you're growing up as a daughter who has a narcissistic mother, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. And it's not your fault. You know, you were set up to fail from the very beginning. And so really, if you can go no contact, that probably would be the best option if you were a daughter who's been victimized by a narcissistic mother. I would say that for sons too, but they also have a kind of a slightly different dynamic, I think, because females in our society are socialized to compete with one another. I do believe that narcissistic mothers tend to use daughters as props differently than their sons. Went off on a tangent there, but I want to wrap this up. So remember that a narcissist's greatest fears are exposure and a victim that they cannot control. So long as you are deeply grounded in your own self-validation, any narcissist, whether they're male or female, they cannot truly use the threat of tarnishing your reputation or friendships against you, because they know that you're going to see any loss of these disloyal friends as a gain. And they also know that deep down, while they're going to spend their entire lives trying to protect their false image, your own integrity is going to speak for itself, right? So take heart, all narcissists of any gender, they will eventually unmask themselves in some way to someone in the future. And people are going to find out the truth about them. You don't have to do anything to expose them, unless, you know, you really do have to take legal action against them. So what I want you to remember is that while narcissists will always spend their entire lives trying to maintain this false image, there's always going to be cracks and holes and fractures in their masks. And so you are going to move on to bigger and better things. Take note of that. Take heart. You are going to move on to bigger and better things while they eventually will meet their downfall, and their mask will slip, and people will learn about them, and people will learn who they truly are. And you don't have to work extra hard to expose them. Karma will take care of it. This sort of thing happens after a long stretch of time. I've experienced this myself. Female narcissists, they can't hide their malignant behavior for that long. There's always going to be enablers around who are going to be loyal to the very end, but there's also going to be people who are going to awaken just like you did. And so find those types of awakened people, find those types of enlightened people who understand, who can validate you, find support. Because when you're going through something as insidious and as covert and as underhanded and as malicious as this, it's very easy to feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. There are people who've experienced similar things, even if it wasn't with the same type of person, or even if it wasn't with, you know, just the person themselves. It could be an entirely different person, but you guys can connect. And you guys can validate each other, and you guys can find support within each other, because there is kind of no greater enemy to a narcissist than this sense of validation that the survivor can get from within and from others. So once you have that sense of validation, it's much harder to take you down. So it's important to build your own sense of inner strength, your own resources moving forward, so that you're not focusing all of your energy on bringing the narcissist down. You're focusing your energy on rising. And once you do that, once you take all of your energy and, you know, your outrage and all of your emotions, and you channel it into something greater than yourself, into your highest good, into the greater good, there is nothing that they can do to defeat you. Even if they try, they can try, but it's helpful to look at them as emotional toddlers, right? Emotional toddlers are always going to be operating from the dark realms of their character disorder, but that doesn't mean that they're going to win. In the end of the day, they might set you up to fail, but you're going to move on to your victory. Believe that. Believe in yourself. Have faith. Surround yourself with validating support from people who get it. And you will rise more powerfully than ever before. I truly believe it. Whether you're dealing with a female narcissistic friend, a workplace bully, a narcissistic mother, or even a significant other, I want you to take heart and know that you are going to move on to bigger and better things, and you are deserving of all of the good things that are to come. So I hope this has helped. If you have had an experience with a female narcissist, would love to hear your insights and stories. What tips in this podcast especially helped you? What tips would you add? What tips would you modify? I would love to hear your feedback on that. And I look forward to creating more of these episodes in the future. Very excited to talk more about narcissism. And I'm very excited to be part of the Mental Health News Radio Network and to create these episodes for you guys. So I look forward to talking to you soon. Until next time, take care.